You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Act 3 of tonight's episode of Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. It is great to have you here on this chilly night as we broadcast from downtown Green Bay statewide. Conrad Krieger working the board. And how are you doing, man? You hanging in there, Con?
You know, I was trying to look for some people for, you know, the window love, but I couldn't find anyone, so.
But I captured a photo of you actively recruiting people to be part of Nightlight Window Fund. So sometimes you got to make your own fund.
Yeah,
but the picture is up on Facebook. Check it up. And boy, this has been fun. We talked to an actual storm chaser tonight in hour one. Jordan Hall was here, folks. He had lots to say about his profession and weather, and that was kind of exciting. And then we did the popcorn pick of the week in hour two with Catherine Lake. Her pick was Don't Look Up, which she thought came out 2 weeks ago, but it actually came out in 2021. It's crazy how time flies. Rich Tallarico joins me at 7:20. Rich is a former writer for Key and Peele. He wrote the famous substitute teacher sketch. Do we still have that, Con? We should refresh people's memory at some point. That's such a funny skit.
Yeah, I'll look for that.
He's also written for SNL and Mad TV. Rich is, I'm very impressed with this guy's activism because he's a very prolific writer. He's working on a movie right now. He is also trying to get people to back a play that gets studios or that gets the union to do their jobs when it comes to getting money for writers and people that try to make money off writers, you know, without paying up their residuals and that kind of thing. So it's a massive undertaking. And Rich is jamming full steam on it. So we'll talk to him about that at 7:20. Our question of the night is, what is something you just can't get into? For me, it was anime. Conrad said drinking spirits neat. He always needs some ice or needs his drinks to be cold. He also said reading. So we've had some great responses so far tonight, and I'll read some more of those in just a moment here. But we've got text to win information coming up in just a few minutes. I'll give you the keyword for this hour. Only have two more chances to play tonight and tomorrow. So I hope I would love for a Nightlight listener to take home $200 and the grand prize. So we'll see how that works out. And I'm also going to tell you in just a moment how Jack Nicholson handled a stalker, and it's crazy, but it's something you got to hear. So going to social media, just to remind you guys, we post the question every day on Facebook. So if you follow us on Facebook, you can respond to the question there. We get some great answers on social media. Sean Boyd says MAGA. He can't get into following. He can't get into MAGA. I don't think Sean's really alone there. Jason Jerry says my ex-wife. He can't get into his ex-wife. What do you make of that, Conrad?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jason, I don't think you're supposed to be sharing that with us, buddy. Thank you for the text, both you guys. Ezekiel Drews, who was on the show last week, my pants from college, but then in all caps, yet. He seems bound and determined to get into his pants from college. I don't even know how old Ezekiel is. He wears the pink suit when he comes out.
Yeah.
It looks really, really just sharp.
You don't need the pants. Just keep wearing the pink suit everywhere.
Yeah, really. You got a suit like that. What are you worried about your college pants for? Or get some mom jeans. Wear some mom jeans. More dudes should wear mom jeans. Our pal Dan Davies, Northeast Wisconsin-based actor Dan Davies, says, semi-nude mud wrestling. I've tried it before and even won the Wisconsin Light Heavyweight Championships back in 2008. Even though they try to make me compete in the senior division, I don't have the heart for it anymore. Also, semi-nude jello wrestling, that is a completely different story. LOL. Dan, enough with the semi-nude. Go full Monty. Lose your clothes completely. Commit. You're an actor. You know all about that.
You know, I was going to say, one of the best semi-nude mud wrestling ever, legends, is Blue.
Oh, from
from Old School.
You might have some competition there because John Candy in Stripes.
Oh, okay.
That was a great mud wrestling scene too. But yeah, Blue.
Well,
they didn't actually.
You know,
that was like warm oil wrestling, right? Because he just dropped dead before he even had a chance to experience the joy. So what else we got here? We've got Daniel Wheeler, our buddy Danny Wheel says, watching sports. I'm sorry. I've tried. It's so boring. Excuse me. That makes me laugh. I love the answer.
Yeah. Well.
It's the opposite of Conrad.
I was going to say.
But you know what? Danny Wheels is, what, in his 50s?
Yeah.
You do everything kind of in life bored. You got to find ways to actively amuse yourself.
Yeah.
And because even sports can get boring. You've seen it all.
Well, you know, it's something new every game now.
Kind of.
It's a different score. It's, you know.
But it's a score. They won by a touchdown. Oh, they won by 1 point. I just see what he's saying. I watch sports. Not as much as I used to. I used to be more like you where I'd watch every game.
I say I watch every game for football. Basketball's a lot harder because it's 82.
It's crazy.
Games a season. But there is something. There's something new every game you see. You know, like a new stat or something. I think it's cool. Like Jalen Hurts threw a pick. The guy fumbled. The cornerback who fumbled the pick. Words. Jalen Hurts recovered it, but fumbled again. So he's the first quarterback ever to throw a pick and then fumble on the same play.
That is cool that happened, but still, it's a fumble. Oh, he had it, and then he fumbled it. I'm saying I see what he's saying.
Yeah,
I watch my team now, and then if there's a great matchup on, I'll put that on and do some work or something. But I can't, and I said on this show recently, I can't watch post-game interviews. These coaches bore me to tears. Unless there's a guy like Mike Leach or maybe Dan Campbell or someone who's going to say something unique or different.
You know,
just saying, I don't totally disagree with Daniel.
I think Marshawn
Lynch,
he did the best post game because he spoke his mind. But Justin Herbert last game, an interview came up to him trying to get an interview, and he says, "No, I'm celebrating with my teammates." And he's but they're like, "Please, please," and he still did it.
I respect
everyone went into this guy makes a bunch of million dollars. Can he just do that? It's like, what?
Yeah, I get that the press has a job to do. You should respect that. But also, once in a while, if the guy is feeling it, okay, that's a story too.
Yeah.
You know, you can report on that. So I get it. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel's text started quite a conversation.
Yes, it did.
Jay Campbell says, size medium. He can no longer fit in size medium. Get into size medium. Ian MacArthur says, my pants from last year. We got a lot of nightlight, a lot of couch potatoes struggling with the belt line, myself included.
They're doing the popcorn and the
that's right.
And the chocolate.
That's right. Amanda Nimmer, our WGBW pal and one of the nightlight producers, says Crocs and Letterkenny.
Hold on. I love Crocs, all right?
I got to tell you, I'm embarrassed to say this. I came around on Crocs.
I love them
About 2 years ago. Yeah. My son had a pair, and I started wearing them just to take the garbage out, and I'm like, hey, this isn't bad. But I wouldn't wear them
They're not for looks.
Correct. And I typically, my go-to joke will be, if I see someone out and about in Marinette, which is not the fashion capital of the world, but I'll say, don't tell anybody you saw me wearing Crocs, okay? Gets a laugh like a quarter of the time, to quote the Nard Dog from The Office. Sarah Jean Rosenberg dittos Amanda's answer. And then my buddy Bob Bro, if I didn't already read this, says Kiss. He can't get into Kiss. Are we caught up? Do we get more social media texts?
I believe there's one more.
What is it? You can read that one, Con. I can't see it.
JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
Says a radio gig at WISS.
Oh, I didn't know he was putting in an application. Let's see if we can help our guy, JB, guy behind the guy. You still have time to get in on it, though, folks. Let us know what your answer is to our question of the night. Something you just can't get into. We are winding down here. We've only got 3 more hours, really, of text to win. It's our grown-up gift list, multi-state text to win contest here at Civic Media. We love our text to win contest. You can win $200 in cash by texting in the keyword, but you have to have the app to do it. You have to have the Civic Media app. And I'm sorry, Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I hope Tyler gets the app. Yeah, you just figure out a way.
Go to the app store, you know.
It's $200.
Yeah.
Come on, Tyler. It's worth it. So you have to text in the keyword on the app, and when you do, you enable yourself to win, or make yourself eligible, I should say, to win a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. So I'm about to give you this hour's keyword, text it in on the app, and then when you get a confirmation link back, click on that, right, Con?
Yeah, if you just click on that link, follow the link, and you can subscribe to Civic Media Today newsletter. That gives you one extra entry. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, follow Nightly with Pete Schwab, that gives you another one, and then go to Spotify.
So there
and
you
then,
go.
Follow Nightly with Pete Schwab on Spotify as well. You get three extra entries.
Just with by clicking. You just click, and you're in.
Exactly.
So it's pretty easy. So do that, and good luck. I'm about to give you the keyword. This hour's keyword is night, N-I-G-H-T, night. N-I-G-H-T, as in silent night. Text that in on the app, and you will be all set, folks.
Great job.
I can spell. So this was interesting. I saw this, and I sent this to you. What did you think about Jack Nicholson, folks, is a Hollywood legend and a real character, obviously. I think he's got kind of a reputation as a, what's the right word, womanizer? Or, I don't know, kind of a player, let's say. Player seems to be the new... But he had a female stalker in the early 80s. What would you do if you had a stalker, Conrad? What's your go-to move?
Let him in.
All right. Well, you're not. Always just, you got to be difficult. Most people go restraining order, right?
Yeah.
Not Jack. In the early 80s, Nicholson had a female stalker show up at his house when he was there with his girlfriend. His girlfriend left them alone to call for help. And when she came back, Jack... How do I say this? Jack was the stalker was pleasuring Jack in a I'm trying to say this that's appropriate for radio. She was performing an act on him that, well, I think is really neat, but not advisable when you have a stalker. The word oral is involved. Jack had an interesting way of dealing with this, and this is confirmed. Ben Dreyfuss apparently is the son of Jaws star Richard Dreyfuss. And a woman named Jeremy Rain, she dated Nicholson. That was the girlfriend that went to use the phone. And she said Nicholson started getting disturbing calls from a woman. They weirded him out so much that he told everyone in the house to ignore her. One day, the girlfriend was there at Jack's house. The woman showed up, knocked on the door. They were freaked out, but they ended up in the living room with the stalker. And the girlfriend obviously broke up with Nick. Said bloke up.
Bloke up.
She broke up with Nicholson. And he said, she offered me said sex act. And he says, I wasn't going to say no. This is a Hollywood star. It must have just been the situation. Like some of these people get so, you know, and that's dangerous. Because the stalkers can be crazy. And what if she decided, I'm the last person that's ever going to do this. And chomped.
You know, this reminds me insanity. Of when Joey and Friends had a stalker, and she thought he was actually in the reality show he was playing.
That's right. That was very funny.
It's super funny. That could have been the same, you know. It's like, oh, it's the guy from Anger Management.
It's Jack. That's what people will say. Well, that's Jack. All right, when we come back, Rich Tallarico is here. Folks, Rich wrote for Key & Peele, SNL, Mad TV. We're going to tell you about his activism and probably have a few laughs with Rich as well and talk about his new movie. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Fun show tonight, and it's about to get more fun. On the stream, though, before we bring Rich on, Bud says, FYI, Lauren, Holly, me, and my smoking hot wife, Janice, are all 62. Okay, Lauren can hold her own as well. You know, I lied. I told during the Q&A last week at the Atwood Music Hall, I told the crowd that Lauren was 6 years older than me when we made The Godfather of Green Bay, that she's five. So, because that woman didn't believe me. She thought I was older than Lauren Holly.
No.
I'm fine with that. All right. So keep those texts coming, folks. We'll close out the show with some texts probably. But right now we have to get to our next guest. I love this guy. He is he's a phenomenal writer and actor. You've seen his work on shows like Key and Peele. He wrote the famous Substitute Teacher sketch, SNL, Mad TV, all kinds of great credits on his resume. And he joins us now, as he does periodically here on Nightlight, Mr. Rich Tallarico. Hey, buddy.
All right. What's up, Nightlight? Hi, Pete. Hey, Conrad.
You can say hi, Conrad.
Oh, hey.
It's just polite. It's a courteous thing. Rich, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. Good to see you again.
Did you ever work with Kelsey Grammer? Uh-oh. We lost Rich's audio. Rich,
oh, no.
Oh, there you go. Now I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did work for, there was this TV special a few years ago called Must See TV, and it was celebrating Jim Burrows. Hmm. And I was one of the writers of that. And I did meet, I don't know if I met Kelsey, but I did meet a lot of the Cheers folks. And it was, you know, kind of a retrospective on all the work of Jim Burrows from Taxi to Cheers and beyond. But I'm a huge fan of Frasier.
Yeah.
The TV show.
You know, our question of the night is name something you can't really get into. And I have to say, Frasier, I know it's Emmy winning and great. I have never been able to get into that show. However, Lauren Holly tweeted today that Kelsey Grammer on the movie Down Periscope had really bad gas and was constantly farting. And we have verification from another person on that, too. So I don't know if that was your experience.
If you watch Frasier close enough, you can kind of see him wince. So I don't know. You know, I know he's been under fire for some of his political stuff, but
yeah,
you know, if you can separate the art, I do think the show is pretty funny and well written, and you know, it's a good ensemble, which I love. But
I
understand frustration with his. You know, same thing, Rocky. Did you see Sylvester Stallone was calling, like, Trump the next George Washington or something?
Yeah.
And I thought it was so funny because there was a clip of Stallone talking about a camera shot from Rocky. Now, Stallone's been in the film business for 50-plus years.
Yeah.
Right? A long time. So he was showing a clip of Stallone talking about a shot in Rocky where they start out on a picture of Jesus or something. And then Stallone says, and the camera pans down to Rocky. Now the camera doesn't pan down, it tilts down. It pans left and right and it zooms in and out. I can't, because I teach writing classes and I'm correcting my students on this, but if Stallone, with all of his experience, doesn't know that a camera doesn't pan down, I don't know, we're in big trouble.
I'm with you though. I mean, people have different political views. I know people on social media, I hear, see them disavowing Springsteen and this and that, and I'll still watch a Stallone movie. I might think he's a knucklehead, or Bruce Willis. I'm not going to not watch Die Hard, and same thing with Frasier. I'm just saying the guy farts a lot. I think he's still a good actor. So
he's probably farting right now
as we speak. This is fun that you're here, Rich, and I'm not going to ask you a favor or put you on the spot, but last night we had a guest fall out, and I said this would be a fun improv game. Conrad, you pretend to be the guest, and I'll ask you the questions I had prepared for the guest. And he did his best, but I think it would be nice to have someone with who is a master improviser like yourself just in the bullpen in the future. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm ready. Do you want to ask me a question now?
Yeah, let's do that. Your name is Sean Katzbach. Sean, this sounds like a great event tomorrow night at the Marinette Community Rec Center with the band Steam and the program from kids from 1 to 92. What can we expect if we go to this event?
Da! Da! What was the question?
Conrad, you're off the hook. Rich, we've got to do the news, and we're going to come back and talk about this massive undertaking you are doing. And all of us who are in the WGA and SAG should be thankful for for you and to help you, and we'll get into all that. But let's not jump in before the news. But what is going on with your movie? You did a read through recently, and you were nice enough to invite my son and I to take part. And Tom Clark read the lead role and was fantastic. What update us on the film? How's that going?
Well, thanks, Pete. You know, it's a tough time in Hollywood, as you know, and you know they're making Men in Black 5. So for original scripts, there's not a lot coming through. I've got a couple. The one that you're talking about is one of a few scripts that I've written in the last couple of years that I'm trying to sell. I've sold a few over the years, haven't had any made yet. The one you're talking about was called Sons of Empathy. And, you know, I could tell you about it. It might take me like a minute. You want to do it after the news?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do that after the news. It was very funny. And I also I want to let you know, Rich, we do have the incentives now in Wisconsin. So if you get burned by New York State, you come to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. hang out with your old pal Petey. We'll take care of you here.
Okay. I'd love to do it. Thank you.
All right. Rich Tallarico is here. We're going to do the news and come back, and he'll tell us about his movie and then this really cool thing he's doing that every artist should be thankful for and should join up. We'll discuss that after the news, and we'll read some of your texts. We can't do Steady Eddies. Bonnie D says, Harry Potter she can't get into. I'm with her there.
Oh, no.
I can't do it.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. And then Mike in the 608 says, I just can't get into opera. I can sporadically, Mike, but I hear where you're coming from. And then John Murray says, couch potatoes? Explain, please. All right, we'll explain that too later in the show. Couch potato. We watch TV. We like our color television. We're coming right back, folks. Rich Tallarico is here. Always fun. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, my Lord. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are in the home stretch here. Are you used to doing 3 hours yet, Con?
Yeah, I'm getting there, I think.
Well, sort of mental cardio.
Yeah.
My voice just gets warmed up midway through hour three, which is great. Rich Tallarico is here, folks. He is a writer from Key and Peele. He's written for SNL, Mad TV, very funny guy. And we just saw his improv skills on full display before the break, which was, I was hoping you would go that route, Rich, personally. But you were in the middle of telling us about your movie. And I said this, we had this great read through. It's a very funny script, but please finish your story.
Oh, thanks, Pete. Well, you know, the script is one of a few that I've written recently that I'm presently in the marketplace trying to sell, trying to get attachments. And the script is called Sons of Empathy. And it was based on a stand-up bit of mine because people love to tell me what I look like to them. And someone told me I look like a sensitive biker. So I have a bit about that, which was like, you know, well, maybe that's not a bad idea for a TV show, you know, about a biker that doesn't want to do drugs or kill anyone. This week on Sons of Empathy. Hey, guys, it looks like the pigs are behind us. Should we lay low at that scenic pull-off? They've got apple picking. Guys, I think it'd be a whole lot more considerate to the other motorists if we all rode single file. So, you know, the bit was something that I've been doing for a little bit, and actually wrote it with a partner, a very funny writer from Nashville called Erin Brady. And she and I wrote a script, a feature script about a biker who is this hard charging biker who's in charge of this massive, you know, gang in Southern California. But he gets in an accident and wakes up, of course, extremely nice and sensitive, can't hurt a fly. But he has to kind of still operate in this very ruthless drug world. So it's a really fun script. It's a fun, you know, Saturday night comedy that I think people would love to see. And as you said, you were there, you did one of the table reads that we had online. So we're, you know, pursuing, you know, trying to get some attachments for that, trying to get it into the pipeline. So we'll see.
Not an easy task, but it's a great script, and I wish you luck. Speaking of comedies, Rich, which you're very, you know, well-versed in and everything, what do you think about this Netflix trying to buy Warner Brothers, and then there's a Paramount? I don't know if you've been following that, but Netflix apparently has no interest in movie theater experiences, and I think they're very important, and especially with a comedy like the one you're talking about. Do you have an opinion on what's going on there?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a business expert, and I think the industry's so devastated from my perspective. You know, production in Hollywood is down like 43%. So part of me says, well, would this mean more production in LA? Would LA have a little bit of a comeback? I understand the arguments for the downsides, you know, as far as more monopoly-like behavior, and corporate behavior is really, they're bad. I mean, there's a lot of malfeasance. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this would help in that regard. There's, you know, a lot of material, and there's a lot of studio space, because I think, you know, just the Warner lots and all the Warner Ranch, I mean, there's so much space. So I don't know why they would buy all that and then not have production.
Right. Or even put it. And the adverse, I would say, is that Paramount, that says they would keep the traditional business model and still make a lot of movies for theaters. I don't know. I know the basics, but let's get into something you're working on. And this is very admirable as a member of the WGA and SAG. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do for people listening that might not know the inside baseball talk. Explain to us a little bit about what you're trying to do.
Well, thanks. Well, I'm, you know, one of maybe close to 100 writers and actors who are members of Writers Guild and Screen Actors Guild, who are looking for action basically on unpaid royalties. And then this does kind of dovetail with also the Disney selling their or buying their way into the AI game. And billions of dollars have been stolen from writers and actors through what I've called corporate sponsored piracy. So there's, you know, anytime content gets uploaded to social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, the studios are monetizing this content, but our research shows that they're not paying any royalties on this content. So if a third party, somebody from Wisconsin, uploads their favorite Key and Peele sketch, YouTube gives the studio a choice to either take it down or monetize it with advertisements, and then they do a split on the revenue with the platform. And the studios overwhelmingly choose option two, to earn billions on these pirated clips. And the studios don't publicize any information, but a 2024 YouTube report revealed that more than 90% of the time, studios are choosing to upload or to monetize these pirated clips rather than take them down. And there's a transparency report, which there's a link to that and much more information at endingcorporatepiracy.com, which is our website where you can see the letters that we writers and actors have written to the unions asking them to take action. And they've, you know, flooded. I mean, there's been billions of dollars made just on, I mean, YouTube has paid $12 billion to the studios on corporated content since they started, on pirated content since they started doing this. And that's just YouTube. So forget TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all the other platforms. And, you know, we're looking for the unions to step in. And right now we are waiting for a response from the union. We've sent some letters, but fans can also go to endingcorporatepiracy.com and they could also sign a fan letter in support. And unfortunately, this is just one of a few issues I've been working on, but I've been in Writers Guild since 2001 and I've been in Screen Actors Guild since the 1900s. So I've been, you know, with both of these unions for a very long time. It's really terrible what's happening, and we're trying to get the union to take action, and hopefully the more voices that ask for it. It's funny because now we have this campaign coming out, you know, you have the Netflix news, the Disney news, there's all this stuff coming out, which is kind of eating the, you know, the attention. So we're trying to make our voices heard here. And thank you for having us.
Yeah, my guest is Rich Tallarico. He is a very prolific writer. He's written on shows like SNL, Mad TV, and Key and Peele. He joins us here tonight, as he does periodically here at Nightlight, to discuss his pursuits. Does your group have a name, Rich?
Well, we have a website, endingcorporatepiracy.com, And
I need something catchier.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's so funny. It's so funny you're saying this because, you know, every year I'm at the Wisconsin Film Festival for a week, and one year Apple TV sent a security to a screening. The film was called Cha-Cha Real Smooth, and there were people roaming the crowd making sure no one put their phone up and took some video from this film that hadn't been released yet. So it's so hypocritical what they're doing. But what I find puzzling to me, Rich, is that you're not going after the studios necessarily. You're going after the unions that are supposed to represent actors and writers to go after the studios. I find that terrible that you have to do that and light a fire under the unions.
We are paying for protection that we're not getting 100%. Yeah. There is an ironic angle here too, because in 2007, Viacom/Paramount sued YouTube in 2007 over 160,000 clips that were on YouTube that were copyrighted content for Viacom Paramount. Viacom Paramount sued YouTube in 2007 for $1 billion. $1 billion for those 160,000 clips. The result of that was a content monetization tool called Content ID. And YouTube developed this massive algorithm that detects copyrighted content. So they basically, the studios send everything to YouTube, everything they have, every film, every song, every TV show, everything. It gets scanned into Content ID. And now if somebody from, you know, Green Bay uploads a clip, there's an instant recognition of it. There's a digital fingerprint. And immediately the studios are notified, do you want to take it down or monetize it? And as we've discovered, more than 90% of the time, according to YouTube, the studios are monetizing. So they went from this adversarial relationship to a very cozy business relationship where the studios and YouTube are profiting. 45% of the ad-generated revenue stays with YouTube. 55% goes to the studios. And we've, according to our research, $12 billion has been paid to the studios since they started this Content ID system. And that's just YouTube. That's just YouTube. So, you know, we want to basically get back pay and stop, you know, future non-payment.
Boy, you are a tiger here, buddy. And I applaud you. Like, I know there could be retribution for this kind of thing. So tip of my hat for what you're doing here. And I know you stand to gain a little bit. You've written a ton of stuff that people have made money off of without you being compensated properly. But how hard is all of this to track? Like, the studio does it on its own behalf. So do they just not want to do it on writers' behalf, or are they just kind of like, that's not our job, it's the union's job? Where do you weigh in there?
Well, thanks. And thank you for having me, Pete. Of course. Our website, corporatepiracy.com. Thank you, Pete, for putting us on here. Definitely. Well, the funny thing is, it's kind of been like a Sherlock episode where we get one piece of information and then a couple years later, we get another one. In 2022, I was running for a board position at the Writers Guild, and a former YouTube employee contacted me, and that was my first understanding of the corporate piracy.
Wow.
I think when you take into account a lot of factors, you know, our paychecks, when we get paychecks from the union, are very opaque. We don't understand what it's paying.
Right.
Quarter to quarter, I don't know where am I airing, what am I supposed to earn. I have no sense of what I'm supposed to make. So we do get some checks, but what is this paying for? And I think that, and the fact that the union started bundling the checks together. So now you don't, you know, I never opted in for that because I was like, if there's a transaction, I want to see it. So I get checks like for 8 cents, 7 cents, yeah. 2 cents, you know, from SNL. I get all these small checks, Key and Peele, Mad TV. And, the union started bundling them. The union also started doing direct deposit. So that takes a lot of eyeballs off the transactions. And if you're not diligently monitoring, I hired someone to scrape API data from YouTube, which showed in 2023, we looked at just 6 shows, and there were over 2 billion pirated views on just 6 shows as of 2023 on just YouTube. Because the other platforms don't put out public data. YouTube does, but I can't look at Facebook. I can't look at Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat, TikTok. I can't look at those. So I've been just, you know, on my own. I'm sponsoring this website. I've gathered writers and actors together, and we've got a lot of fans that are now joining our campaign. So we're trying to break through the noise of all this other Hollywood news.
Yeah, right.
Come in pieces, you know, where we've learned more. And, you know, so I'm hoping we can make some noise and get some change here.
I think you're doing just that, pal. Rich Tallarico is here. We're going to do a very short break. We'll have a couple more minutes with Rich when we come back. But once again, folks, this hour's keyword in the grown-up gift list, multi-state civic media text to win contest. You have to text this in on the app to be eligible for $200 is Knight, N-I-G-H-T. Knight, N-I-G-H-T. Rich, I can't be part of that contest, but I would donate it to you, buddy. We're coming right back with Rich Tallarico. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We are in the final throes here, folks. Bud on the stream says, hey, Pete and Conrad, love to watch color television. That cracks me up every time just because I say color television. Bud says, remind Catherine that her meatloaf sucks. I need to go to bed. Okay, I will. Next time I see you. Okay, I don't know how Bud knows about Catherine's meatloaf, but will do, Bud. Thank you, buddy. Steady Eddie texts, Pete, I think I can top your storm chaser guy and his stories of flying debris. One time in 1974, on a sunny and breezy day from an old Wisconsin farmhouse, I saw a horse fly through the window. True story. Sometimes after the holiday season of feast and having consumed mass quantities of eggnog, Christmas cookies, ice cream, mashed potatoes, I'm going to barf, gravy, and roasted beef, I find it extremely challenging to get into my pants, to say the least. Thank you, Steady Eddie. And finally, Janet says, cruises. My best friend goes on a lot of them and tries to convince me they're fun. I say, ew. So many people on the open water with no escape. The only one I might consider is an Alaskan cruise. I would like to thank my guests, and thank you for the text, Janet. Jordan Hall, Storm Chaser, that was fun. Catherine Lake made the popcorn pick of the week, and Rich Tallarico, who we have a few more minutes left here. Rich has a website called endingcorporatepiracy.com. If you want to help folks, if you're fans of the working men and women, please go there and lend your support to what Rich is trying to do, and that is to get studio. Well, he's trying to get our unions to go after the studios to pay up the creatives, actors, writers, and the like. So, Rich, is that the best way members and non-members can help the cause, is sign the petition?
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, it's definitely a great step. We have, like I said, close to 100 actors and writers who've signed these letters that we've sent to the unions. And we have quite a few fans that are starting to sign up as well. That nice. Is our destination presently. And yeah, folks want to check out and learn more about it. I mean, this is not that like we're lobbying for better pay. We are getting our pockets picked. This is wage theft. This is illegal. And the unions are not giving us protection that we're paying them for.
That's a great.
So we need to change this. And Pete, you know, I'd like to say what I can't get into.
Yeah, please.
Ham.
Oh, that's it. I'm with you. I can't
I don't know why. I love bacon.
Same.
I love pork chops. Ham to me almost comes from a different animal.
That's a great.
Like there's another animal called a ham or something. It's like, is that from the same? Because a pork chop is incredible. Bacon is unbelievable. But ham is like, it's like a cousin of that same animal. It just doesn't seem like the same animal.
It doesn't have the punch of bacon. It's like it's milk toasty brother or something. I'm totally with you on that. And ever since Samuel Jackson's speech about ham in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Pig sits in its own filth. I don't know. That's a great answer. Rich, you're very wealthy. I'm asking for a friend. But how do you get into the club, a group of people that decide they're entitled to make money, but you're not, even when you're the creator of it?
So I'm sorry, Pete, your question is, how do I get into the club?
Well, there is a faction of people, in this case it would be studios or YouTube owners, that think they're entitled to money, but the people that create the content are not. How do you change the public mentality? Because there's so many, and we've only got a couple minutes left, I apologize, but I remember the last writer strike, you'd see these people online saying, oh, these writers make $1 million a year. There are a few that do. Most people are earning a living, though. It's a very blue-collar profession, and in some cases, people are destitute.
There's 11,000 Writers Guild members, and I think 2%, you know, work all the time. A lot of us are developing scripts, trying to sell scripts, and, you know, I definitely have gaps in my employment. One of the most horrifying things that came out during the last strike was one of the studio executives said, their goal was to starve out the writers and starve out the actors. And they literally wanted to see people lose their homes. And there's this ruthless brutality that exists in this antagonistic, which is crazy because there's such a nice partnership here. They could make a little bit less. It wouldn't hurt them
right.
to pay us the 2% that they're supposed to pay on this. But now it's gotten so bad, and I don't understand. My real question mark over my head is, why isn't the union, because the union's losing money too. The union loses money.
Yeah.
All these payments would then be, you know, taxed for dues. So the union themselves are losing a lot of money here. So I don't understand. There's definitely some missing yeah. pieces of information, but I don't know. There's a lot of ruthlessness in this business, and we're yeah. trying to change that. And, you know, get somewhere close to legal, because this is illegal what's happening. They're yeah. stealing from us.
It's a very fundamental thing. You're a studio of what? Movies. Oh, we don't make them. We rely on other people to write them. We just take all the money. I don't know how anybody wouldn't be behind this. Keep up the great work, Rich. Always great to have you on the show, buddy. And I will figure out my techno challenged way. I will sign that petition. But thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome. That's Rich Tallarico. Go to endingcorporatepiracy.com. If you want to get involved and just show your support for writers and the working man. Con, what else? What am I missing? Are we caught up on texts?
I think we did all the fart talk already, we're good, you know.
We could have. This is the second night this week. I think we've.
Are we doing one tomorrow, too?
Well, I'm debating whether or not to make it a miniseries, because earlier I would say we haven't mentioned that word on the air for like a year, and
yeah.
then twice this week. That's insanity.
You know, I could mention it every single day. I could bring a video with just audio, and you'd get the, you know, but that's just how my TikTok algorithm works.
Because all you watch is farts.
It just knows I'll laugh at it. Like if a fart video comes on, it's like I stay there for a second to hear it, and then I laugh, and then I move on. So it knows. It's like,
you know,
all right, he's going to get one fart video today, and he's going to love it.
You mentioned the one about the guy in church, and I find myself getting frustrated, like, get to it. I don't want to hear an actual homily before I hear the fart. It's a reel, for God's sakes. All right, we are coming back tomorrow night, folks, to do it all again. Another great show coming up. We're going to talk about a lot of local festivals tomorrow night, and it is a bar band Friday night. You won't want to miss that. We'll have another great question. Have a great night, everybody. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe, saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.